I've been in Christ, I still need a greater understanding. I haven't tapped into everything God's word has promised. I haven't been there yet. I don't know about you. And every man in here that we know that God has called you, the sun's going down, it's getting dark. You're not getting very sleepy. You're being very awake, all right? But every man in here, God has called you according to his purpose. And everyone, listen, no matter what you try to do for the Lord, if you don't have an understanding of prayer, it will fail. Because he gets all the glory. And without him, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we need to learn how to do everything through prayer and supplication, the scripture says, right? In everything through prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. And so come on out. Again, it's Friday night and Saturday. We'd love to have you all there because I really believe that God's taking us to a different place. He's taking us in a different place, and he's making it a priority for people that hadn't made it a priority before, right? We're watching and listening to a hunger being birthed in some that hadn't tapped into the power of prayer before. And that's what I believe God does. He starts tugging on hearts. And eventually he starts to change the way that we think, and then our desires completely change. How many agree? You're not doing what you were doing before. And we're very grateful. We're very grateful. So, you know, when we were in worship this morning, with the instruments playing, I'm just so thankful for the instruments, amen? Those that practice and just and prepare in order to just lead and add to it. But can I tell you, the greatest instruments ever created are the ones that God created. And when we stop playing and you sing, that's the prettiest thing to God's ears. It doesn't matter how, there's no amplification. There's nothing except you, the vessel, the gift, the oracle of God, the one who has been prepared as an instrument of praise. And isn't it amazing how sometimes you can go and be around people and they won't praise God, even though they were created to do that? Aren't you happy that your vehicle moves because it was created to move? Who'd want to buy a car and just sit in it? Yo, yo, check out this ride. It doesn't go anywhere. Me and my friends, we just hang out in it. We turn the radio on. That's all that works. What good is it? And so as the vessels that God has, you're an instrument in the hand of God. And he created you for that purpose. And when we come together, oh my goodness, when the bassists and the tenors, and that's the only two words I know when it comes to different things, when we all start to sing together, it's incredible. And it just fills this house with beauty and power. It fills the house with the love of God, and God is honored in that. He's honored when we walk in obedience to his word, amen? And that is to sing his praise. That's what he's honored in. He's not honored, you know, in giving. That's just a test to see where our love life is. Because if our love life is with him, then it's easy to give. It's easy to tithe. It's easy to give above and beyond it. But if our love life is somewhere else, then it's hard to give. It's hard to sow. It's hard to bless. And, you know, we weren't going to do this today. Steve, you want to grab another usher or two? Grab them bags, would you? Right now, the Hassingers they're pretty much in lockdown. I was talking to them again this week. And, you know, they sent me this paper. They said, all Americans get out of Haiti. And they said, we believe we're supposed to stay. And then the government sent him a piece of paper and said, if you believe you're supposed to stay, then do these five things. Number one, write out your will. Because the kidnappings, there's 48 Americans now that have been kidnapped in Haiti, and over 900 Haitians. He said, secondly, find somebody who is going to be the one that negotiates with the terrorists if you get kidnapped. Designate somebody for that. Get your finances in order. Get all your family contacts in order and have some other plan. It was five things that they said, get your life in order.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your problems don't seem so big, do they? Have you had to do that this week? No, if some of you kids don't straighten up, you might better get your will in order. I can tell you that much. I've been talking to your parents, and let me tell you. But this is where we have to come to an understanding. They're down there willing to pay the price and to give of their lives all the way through to the end. And you know what? They're still doing their program and training these kids in the Word of God. They have to use some of the Haitian brothers that they've been working with in order to go and pick things up because it's safer for them to go and grab stuff. And then power is out all day and it comes on at 7 at night for a little while because the hospital compound that they're living on, and I think I told you, it runs on generators, and the generators run on diesel fuel. And the hospital has about a week and a half, about 2 weeks worth of diesel fuel left, and then they got to shut down the hospital. So then they'll have no power. People giving their lives for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so this morning, I just want to sow a seed into them. I just want to give because now we have to send it a different way. We can't send it the normal way because the banks don't have any power. How about that happens here? You can't get your money out. Banks are locked down. You can get $200 at a time out of an ATM. And I wasn't planning on this. Hey, that's a good-looking usher. He can play the guitar. He can usher. He can do it all. And that's incredible. Man, I'm telling you. My goodness. Some more. These guys are good-looking, ain't they? Man, oh, man. Them ushers at the other church I was at, but here... They're good-looking ushers. Let me tell you something. You guys are blessed. But let's just pray, and let's thank God for an opportunity. Just look at, you give what you want. You want to give 50 cents? You want to be good Catholic people and give a dollar? That's fine. But I want you to know, I want you to know that it's an opportunity for you to just say, you know what? I'm in love with the kingdom of God. These people have given their lives, and they're ready to lay it down. They're ready to lay it down, and I need to lay mine down, whatever my plans and purposes are. Let's pray. Father, first of all, we pray for the Hassingers this morning. Lord, we pray your divine protection around them. You have given your angels charge over them. Father, when the enemy comes one way, you cause him to flee seven ways. And Lord, we're so thankful that in the midst of this, we know there's a tumultuous time, Lord, even within the house and without, because when darkness comes and tries to pervade in every area and change the way that we're living, sometimes we struggle in the midst of it, but I pray for a peace in that house. Lord, that anybody that walks on their property inside their fence would sense that peace of God. They would find a place of rest and refuge. They would hear the words of life flow out of both of them and their children, and their lives would be changed forever. They would hear strength. They would hear courage. They would hear those that trust in the Lord their God. And Father, even them being down there now and knowing that they're staying, Lord, we thank you for the courage you have given them. Lord, we pray for wisdom, and we pray, Lord, that you would open up doors that they would be able to receive what they have need of, regardless. Lord, that when nobody else can't get it, all of a sudden it shows up on their doorstep. All of a sudden you open up a door and they're able to walk in and get enough, not only for themselves, but for others. That Lord, even in this tough time, they would be those that sowed. Let them be sowers of the word of God and of all their abundance. And we thank you for the abundance that they're going to receive through your hand, oh God, not monetary stuff, but Father, all the needs that they have. We thank you for the abundance that's coming in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that they would loose the fuel for the hospital to fill up their tanks once again for those people that are in the hospital, oh God. Lord, we thank you that even in these times, Lord, they would learn just to trust you, to thank you, to not worry, not care, Lord, not fret, not be anxious, nothing. But they would say, we're good today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And it would stand on your promises. And the whole area would come and say, why do you have the faith that you have? Why is it that you can sing the songs. Sing the songs of victory in the midst of what we're walking through. And they would be able to say, because Jesus is my God, my King, my rock, my fortress, my Savior. He's my way, my hope, my truth, and my life. And we thank you, Father, for blessing them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, fellas. Hand them out. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look there for a couple minutes. One of the things that when Jesus comes into our lives, he restores our soul, the scripture says. Amen? And tell your neighbor, say, you look like a soul that's been restored. Ask the other person, is God still working on you? Come on, ask him. Maybe they didn't have a smile this morning. I don't know. But one of the questions is always, what are you holding on to? You know, today is a day of being thankful. And thankfulness is a weapon. Amen? Being thankful. You know what? There's a Michael. I met you this morning. And I just want you to know, Michael, what seems hopeless, when God comes in, everything changes. He's called you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you. And he's called you at this time. You didn't walk in here because you didn't have nothing else to do. You walked in here because he said, today is that day, Michael. Today is a day where everything changes. Today is a day where all the things that you were chasing after ends. And he said, he's more than enough for all that you have need of. He just said that you're supposed to be working with us from this point forward. All right? So let's chat afterwards. But everything that you were thinking about earlier, it's already been broken off. Let it go. Everything that you were struggling with, he's already taken care of. He's already made a way through. He said, I don't want you carrying it anymore. Stop looking at yourself and look to me. All right? That's where he wants you to walk, Michael. See me afterwards. Ushers, don't let him out until he sees me. Yeah, I just couldn't stop thinking about you, Michael. I need you working with us. In John chapter 8, and verse 31 and 32, which we said it last week, that Jesus said, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, tell your neighbor, say, continue in his word. Tell your other neighbor, say, continue in his word. He said, then you truly are my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth what? Right? Another version states, if you will hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teaching, what are you holding on to? Is there something else that we're holding on to a little bit tighter than the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there something else that we're hanging on to that we grip and we grab a hold of that gives us, maybe in our own mind, greater security or a greater strength? Is there anything in our lives that we're hanging on to? He said, because if you hold on to my word, he said, I'm going to set you free from worry. I'm going to set you free from fear. I'm going to set you free from anxiety. I'm going to set you free from everything that the world is chasing after. And oh, does the church need to be set free? Amen? And the world, we know, needs it. But the church needs it too. There's some stuff that is filtered into the church that has nothing to do with the things of God. Can we say amen? Amen? Right? Some of the things that we've allowed into our lives, that it's because of the culture that we're living in, we need to take a close look and say, Lord, is it building? Is it strengthening? Is it confirmed in your word? Or is it just something my flesh craves? Because everything that man creates is because of the craving of your flesh. It's what man creates. Everything that God created is what you needed. Can we say amen? Amen? Right? Everything God created was to take care of you. He's good at that, isn't he? My goodness, I look at it, you guys. He's done a good job taking care of you. He's done amazing. Just amazing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verses 14 to 22, we're going to read that. It says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to give you another shot today. You have to be patient with everyone. 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 You're going to have to be patient with everyone. How patient has God been with us? He's a very patient God with me. He's been telling me things for years. Some of them I just didn't grasp. Some of them I just didn't do. Not for years. And there's still things he wants to work on in me. And there's still things he wants to work on in you. Because he is so patient with me and with you, you're going to have to be patient with everyone. How many times have we run back and said, Lord, I'll never do that again? And God was so patient when you came back and said it again. And he's still patient with some of the things that you're still coming back and saying, I'm not going to do that again. He's very patient with it. Verse 15, he says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. How many people? The only thing you're allowed to think about is good for everybody else. We might as well just sit there for the rest of the day, where there's nothing but good thoughts about everyone. Anyone in your life that you have struggled with, you need to change it. You're going to have to say, Lord, I need patience for that person, and I have only good thoughts. And that's going to be a fight. That's going to be a fight. And then in verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In verse 18, in everything give thanks. 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 Everything. In everything, not for everything. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Here's the warfare. Thankfulness is a weapon. Thankfulness is a weapon that God has given us. It's a place where he said, we're going to have to learn how to stay. Number one, he said, rejoice always. Rejoicing always, the only way we're going to do that is keep remembering what he did rather than what we did. Amen? The only way to rejoice always is to constantly remember what he has done for each and every one of us. Reminding of each and everything that he's washed out of our lives and every one of his promises that he's deposited in us. We're going to have to learn to rejoice in the midst of it. In the midst of whatever you're walking through right now, rejoice. Because your God has made a way where there seems to be no way. Rejoice. Why? Because he said, I'm going to supply all that you have need of. So you don't have to worry about supplying. You don't have to worry about making it through. How many times in your life did you think you weren't going to make it? And here you are. See that? We need to learn to rejoice. Why? Because the devil's a liar. He always says you're not going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say you're going to make it. See, because we can do all things through what? Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. We can do it all. There's nothing you can't walk through. It's a warfare that we need to grow in. You know, this is where we have to make decisions, not based on emotions. And this is called growing up in the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, there's a lot of emotionalism. Yeah, but you don't know what it feels like, brother. Well, we all know what pain feels like, don't we? We all know what sorrow feels like. We all know what loss feels like. Does anybody here have any idea what rejection feels like? So we already know all of that, right? Do we have to practice that? No. Rejection doesn't need any help or assistance. All it takes is a look. And thoughts start whirling in your mind sometimes, and you walk out of the room. Or you get an attitude. But this is why Jesus said you need to be thankful in everything. in everything you're gonna walk through, we're gonna have to start to war on thankfulness. And it's not gonna be an emotion, it's gonna be a decision that we make. You can't grow in maturity through impartation. Isn't that what everybody wants? Brother, God's called you to change the world. You are mature. I'm a lying prophet. I'll tell you that much right now. Because that didn't make him mature. He's going to have to make decisions in order to grow in his maturity. Isn't that what we teach our kids? Right? Every day, it's a decision to be thankful. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm thankful. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm thankful for you. See, because I know husbands always turn towards their wives and wives towards husbands the first time. So then we got to make them look at somebody else. All right? Getting brownie points in church is okay, but we got to encourage the rest of them around us. But thankfulness is a weapon because it's going to start to destroy the lies of the enemy. Being thankful in everything starts to change the way that we think. What is God's desire for us? It's to carry his presence wherever we go, right? Isn't that what Adam and Eve walked in his presence, right? They walked with God in the cool of the day. Did Adam and Eve need anything in the garden? Absolutely nothing, right? And what did the devil come and say? He said, hey, you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God. I want you to know you're already like God. You were made in his, right? Was Adam and Eve like God? Yeah, they were. They were already like God. So they got lied to and deceived into thinking there was something missing or lacking in their lives. Don't be deceived. There's nothing lacking in your life. Oh, the world says you lack, right? The world says you're missing. The world says you need just a little bit more. The world says you gotta get more. God said, I've already given you everything that you have need of. Everything. And you say, yeah, but Lord, what if? He said, I've taken care of the what ifs for a few thousand years. I don't think there's no new what ifs. Yeah, but you know, we've never been through this. Not you, but a million other people have. For 6,000 years, I've been taking care of the people's fears about what ifs. And I've handled every single one of them, and I brought everyone that believed in me through to a place of victory. Every single one. I've destroyed all the what ifs. What if this happens? We might not. No, you might. No matter what happens, you're going to walk in freedom when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I messed up big time. It's okay. You still have your freedom because you're going to be able to do things. Some of the things that God does is he exposes some of the things on the inside of us, right? That's what pressure does, doesn't it? Right? Sometimes we're in pressure situations and we don't respond properly. Can we all agree on that? All right. What is that all about? It's really God showing us what's on the inside of us. Right? God knows it's in there. He doesn't do it to shame us or humiliate us. It's not what he does. He wants you to be able to carry a greater weight of his presence or glory. He wants you to be able to walk in a greater understanding so that more people's lives are affected. Can we agree? Right. And so what happens is if your foundation has got cracks in it, he's got to expose the cracks and fix them. Isn't that what we do? I don't know if you've ever had to restore an old house. But we've had them growing up. My father would buy them, and then we'd go in and rip them all apart and rebuild them. And in the foundation, when he had cracks, he had to go and get this special stuff and fill the cracks and then seal them. And the worst thing you can have is water running in from all the places because it's going to destroy the foundation eventually. Right? And that's what God does. He fixes some of the cracks in our lives. And we don't know they're there. And then all of a sudden pressure comes and we respond improperly. And then we go, oh God, I'm so sorry. He said, yeah, I had no idea that was in you. I had no idea you were struggling with that. Can you believe that? He says, I know that was in there, but I needed you to see it. Because I didn't want that controlling you the rest of your life. I want you to learn that when that's exposed, this isn't to try to hurt you. This is to try to heal you.
There's a purpose for pressure, and that's to bring strength. We were talking, I forget where, but they, you know, them giant atriums, I don't know what they're called, them glass houses, and they made huge ones where there's grass and fruits and vegetables. Everything's growing in there. And I think I told you guys this before, that the only thing that they can't grow in there are trees. And they said the trees are gnarly, and the trees, they just don't grow strong. They can't grow them inside there. And they said the reason is because the trees need the wind to make them stronger. As the wind blows, then them roots grab a little bit deeper and a little bit wider. And as it's growing up, it's constantly getting stronger because of the wind. And when man took away the wind and said, we're going to create something perfect, better than what God has done, we're going to create it so we take all the good and keep out all the bad. And they said, yeah, but we can't grow trees if we do that. We can't do what God did without his help, because no man knows where the wind comes from or where it's going to. But it's going to help strengthen the trees. I don't know where the challenges are going to come from in your life, but I do know that it's helping you get stronger in the things of God. The way that we get through it quicker is start to be thankful when God exposes something rather than complain. Tell your neighbor, say, I really wish you'd stop complaining. Yeah. Husbands looked away from their wives at times. And, I ain't going there, baby. Yeah. But we need to learn to be thankful in the midst of that, because in the midst of the struggle or the problems or the pain, God is starting to prepare us to carry something greater so that the world can see him instead of us. Amen? That's what he wants. He wants us to be invisible, and all they hear are his words. All they see is the manifestation of his grace and his goodness, so that every one of us look the same. Servants of God. That's all they remember. I don't know what their name was, but man, the presence of God, the power of God. Man, they prayed. When they prayed, my ears just lit on fire, and I wanted to be around them more. That's what God wants. But in order for us to walk in that kind of a freedom, there's got to be a work that God does. And when we start to be thankful in the midst of it, all of a sudden we start to see through his eyes. And we start to establish ourselves that I'm not going to run. I'm all done running back into my closet and crying and acting like a 2-year-old in Jesus Christ. Oh, that the church would stop running from the call of God on their lives. Right? Because that's what happens. Every time something happens that you don't like, you back off. And every time we back off, what we say is, I want to go back in that little greenhouse where there's no wind. I'm not going to get any stronger. I'm just going to go sit by myself. You were never called to be sitting by yourself. You were never called to come to church by yourself. You were always supposed to be building into someone else's life. Can we say amen? All right, that's what he said. Go and make disciples. It's really simple. So as we walk with the Lord, and as we start to become thankful that when God exposes a weakness in me, I start to remember, wait a minute, Lord, you're doing this for your glory. I'm the vessel that needs work, not you. I don't need to try to dictate to you and tell you how to treat me. But isn't that what we do? God, if you want me to serve you, here's what you should do. And we have our list that we go down through. Jesus came that we would see how heaven is expressed on earth. That's what he wanted. In order to express him, we're going to have to learn how to handle correction. In this chapter, previous in the chapter, it says, you know, that we're, as far as submitting to the authority and what's going on in America, we've said that nobody wants to submit to authority in America. That independence has come, and now they want to throw the police out. And, you know, these ladies and gentlemen that are running the government, all they do is rip each other to pieces, attacking the authority that's there, making a mockery around the world of the greatest institution or the greatest experiment called the American experiment that's ever been on the face of the planet. Why? Because it was built on two things. Love God, love your neighbor. See, because when we love one another, all of that nonsense goes away. But when we try to get ahead of one another, then the clashing comes and the problems come. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm just here to serve you.
Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm here to serve you too.
See, I just can't have family members saying it to each other all the time. It's just... Jesus did it perfectly, and our decisions will determine the power of that reflection. Now, every one of us have sinned, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know what sin is, missing the mark, right? Jesus came into our lives, and he washed away all of our sins, and he said, hey, now you can hit the mark. Now you're able to hit the mark. What's the mark? Reflecting him. Right? There's no other mark. We're not trying to become... People pray all the time, Lord, I don't know what your will is for my life. Right here. Right? Pray without ceasing. Rejoice, because this is the will of God for you. Right? Rejoice, pray. It's the will of God. How hard is that? You'll find out what God wants you to do when we start rejoicing in it, when we start to be thankful for whatever comes, whatever he's asked us to do. Those guys down in the kitchen right now, they are so joyful. They were so excited about coming and getting back in the kitchen. They really were. Bunch of them came yesterday, brought tables up here, set up tables downstairs, put up plastic to make sure no dust gets on the turkey, not that you guys would even notice. But they came in and they prepared. Why? Last year we didn't get together. We did it in life groups. And this year, you know what? We had the most people sign up that we've ever had sign up this year. Over 250 people signed up to come for the Thanksgiving dinner. Right. And we were so thankful. We said, okay, we only planned for 250, but over 250 people are coming. So this is one of them loaves and fishes day. We're going to have to believe God for the increase. Amen? But we're not worried about it. We're not anxious about it because we already know he will. And if he called you to fast because there's nothing left, well, then you'll have to deal with that. Be thankful. Sit next to a kid, they never eat their whole meal. I have no idea. Is that what I have, Zach? 1,437 minutes? No? Okay. Oh, that's the time. All right. It's 11:27? Is that the real time? Beans. Okay, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I have to be out of here on time because we got a lot of work to do. You got a lot of work to do outside the house. We got a lot of work to do inside the house. The Ethiopic version renders it as this. Be thankful for everything. It says, for all temporal good things, for our beings, the preservation of them, for food and raiment, and all the mercies of life, for the means of grace, the word and ordinances, the ministers of the gospel, for spiritual blessings, for electing, redeeming, regenerating, adopting, pardoning, justifying, and persevering grace, for a meetness for heaven, a right unto it, and a good hope of it. And especially for Jesus Christ, for such a husband, such a head, such a surety and savior, an advocate with the Father as he is, and for life and peace and joy, comfort, righteousness, and salvation in him. And thanks should be given to God in every circumstance of life, in adversity, as Job did, when not in so comfortable of an agreeable a frame of soul as to be wished for, since it might be worse, and is not black despair, even under the temptation of Satan, since they might be... they might be greater and heavier. And since the grace of God is sufficient to bear up under them and deliver out of them, and since there is such a sympathizing high priest and savior, and in afflictions of every kind, since they are all for good, temporal or spiritual or eternal. Man, talk about how learning how to be thankful. All of these things that God has done. Even when we think about Job, right? He lost everything, and yet he said, though you slay me, I'm still going to talk and be thankful of the goodness of God. I'm still going to remind people that my God is a good God. Even when he lost it all, he said, I'm not going to
to stop. Never going to change my mind. David, when he was at Ziklag and he lost everything, right? They came in, they raided his village when he was out going to war, and they stole the women and the children and all of the animals. And David came back and he had to figure out a way to lead his men again. And I guarantee you that it says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. He was going before the Lord and being thankful for all the other times God saved him out of darkness. And in the midst of wars, and I guarantee you, he mentioned, hey, remember how you slew Goliath? Lord, they're getting ready to slay me here. I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't my slingshot. I know it was you taking that stone and sinking it deep in the skull of that giant. And Lord, right now, we've got another giant that we got to kill. They stole everything. They took it all. I don't know what to do, Father, but I'm thankful that you do. I'm thankful that I can trust you. I'm thankful that I can rest in you. And he got away from everybody else. I don't know what kind of despair you've had in your life or you've seen in your life, but I want you to know God's a rescuer. He's a great rescuer. He rescued you out of darkness when you didn't want to get rescued. Isn't that beautiful? David said in Psalm 34, 1 through 7, I will bless the Lord how often? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And rescues them. I don't know about you, but my angels rescued me quite a few times because of my good decisions. Brilliant ones. That's the only time you need an angel is when you make brilliant decisions and he's going to have to rescue you. But it said the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And then he rescues them. We're reminded and when Hezekiah was being overrun and he brought the petition before the Lord. And the angel came that night and slew the entire army. Saved them all. One angel slew an entire army. I want you to know there's a lot to be thankful for. That no matter what comes against you, you've got an angel that's been put in charge of you. And I know that if my angel has a lot of work to do, some of you, your angel's got stitches, bruises. He's got tape all over him and bandages because of the brilliant decisions that you make too. But you know, there's something that happens. That angel doesn't stop doing what he's supposed to do. And he's thankful for the job that God gave him to do. And we need to be a people that are thankful. Wherever your marriage is at this morning, you need to be a thankful person. Wherever your children are at this morning, you just need to be thankful. Remember how thankful you were when they first came out? Huh? You need to go right back there. You need to go back and get your baby pictures and bring them out. And you need to stare at them all night long and just start to be thankful for the Lord and to the Lord for the gift that he has given. Nothing can change because of how you feel. You see, we said maturity comes through decisions that we make. And we're going to have to make a decision to be thankful in all things. It's a weapon. The enemy comes and tries to take your joy. When does joy come? In the morning. Before you're even up, joy. How close is joy to you? Is joy available to you every single morning? That's what the scripture says, right? So it's real close to you. No matter where you're at in life, don't tell me you can't walk in joy because joy is right there every morning. He said, my mercies are brand new. There might be some weeping in the evening, but I want you to know this morning. He said, I'm bringing joy and I'm filling your room. I don't want joy. I've prepared to be miserable all day and everyone will know it. They've already known it for years, baby. Don't worry about it. You don't have to try to do that. How about grab a hold of the joy and say, no, from now on, I'm going to be thankful for what I have. And I'm going to be thankful for whatever God has supplied. And whatever he hasn't supplied, I'm going to be thankful for that too. I'm not going to worry any longer for what I have or don't have. I'm just going to be grateful for my God. For what? For the way that he washed me and cleansed me, the way that he healed me and delivered me, the way that he washed away my sins and gave me eternity, the way he put an angel in charge over me. All of these things that the word says, we need to learn just to be thankful and drive the enemy out. When he comes and tries to discourage you, oh, the doctor said, yeah, but I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ and those stripes were enough for my healing in the name of Jesus Christ. No discouragement coming into the house of God. Why? Because we're thankful for the power of his word being manifested in each one of our lives. Stand up this morning, because I'm over time. Oh, man. Let me ask you a question. Are the list of blessings longer than your list of wants? Oh, you have needs written down. Some of you have a whole thing on your phone of all the needs. Do we have a list of all the blessings? How about we start writing them down and start thanking God for the blessings that come in our lives? But we start writing them down, and we that list outweighs the needs and the wants. Because I'm thankful for where you brought me from, Lord, and I'm thankful for where you're bringing me to. And I know sometimes you're going to expose some things, and it's not for my hurt, it's not for my shame, it's not for guilt, but it's to make me stronger. And I'm thankful, Father, for every situation that I've had to walk through so far, because I've grown. And now I want to make a decision that I'm going to give thanks in everything. As for me and my house, we're going to give thanks in the midst of everything. Because it's going to change the way that I live, to change the way that I speak. It's going to change everything about me. Because I'm going to be a mature Christian, and I'm going to make a decision that as for me and my house, we're going to be a thankful people. Because it always comes from the top down, doesn't it? Always. So if you'll be thankful, everything around you will start to be thankful. Everything will start to change. You change everything because of the Christ on the inside of you. So as he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all things. Once again, just tell your neighbor, say, man, I'm thankful for you. All right, now turn to the person behind you and say, I'm thankful for you. Come on. Come on, turn to somebody else. Say, man, I'm thankful that you're here. Tell one more person, say, I'm so thankful you're not going to eat a lot. So there's more for me. And listen. Listen, this is about us coming to a place. This is about us coming to a place where not only are we changed, but everything around us has changed. That world needs you. Outside these four walls, they need you. You're the greatest weapon that God has. You're an instrument of praise. There's not a sound more beautiful than your voice when you sing unto your God. I don't care what anybody else says. There is not a sound more beautiful. We were in prayer a couple weeks ago, and Miss Catherine, she stood up. She just couldn't help it anymore, and she started to sing an old hymn that I had never heard before. She was the only one singing it. But you know what? She wasn't ashamed of the gospel of her God. She was so thankful that she couldn't help but belt out a song. And she stood up by her chair and she just started to sing. And man, I'll tell you, it changed the whole atmosphere of that room. When one instrument does what it was created to do, it changes everything around it. You're the instrument that God wants to use to change everything outside this house. Let's be thankful in all things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful body. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the gifts. I thank you that each joint is knit together. Lord, let our hearts be knit together even tighter, that we find great joy in one another. Lord, that when we see one another, when we greet one another, we see the gift inside, and all we want to do is encourage them to express the gift even more. For when that gift is expressed, everything changes. When we're thankful for the gift, we make a decision to utilize the gift for one purpose, and that's to glorify you. And Father, we do repent this morning for hoarding our gift.
We repent for holding back our gift. We repent for making excuses why we're not using our gifts. We repent, Father, for acting like mere children when something came into our lives instead of being thankful in the midst of it all, knowing that you're growing us up, you're raising us, you're training us, you're equipping us. Father, this morning, I thank you that we have an opportunity right now to be thankful in all things. We're letting everything else go. And Lord, from right now, let our hearts, our minds, our will, and our emotions, let them be thankful in the midst of it. No matter what it is, Lord, we're going to be those that make a decision to grow in maturity, no longer walking by a mere emotion. We know you've given us those emotions, Father, but we don't want them consuming and controlling us. We want your word to lead and to guide. We want to walk so close with you, Lord, not only knowing your word, but experiencing the fullness of it being manifested through us the way that your son walked. And you said, you have given us everything that we have need of in order to accomplish that task. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every one. We agree that every yoke is broken right now in the name of Jesus. When some would say, I have a hard time being thankful, not any longer, for that yoke has been broken in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. Yes, but God's a healer and a deliverer. He's taken you out of darkness and he's placed your feet on solid ground, on the chief cornerstone. And he never stops loving you. He never stops believing the best. He never stops going before you. He never stops providing a way for you. Father, today, we're thankful. We're thankful for the Hassingers that as they stand their ground and say, darkness will not come near our dwelling, and yet the light of Christ will overpower the darkness all around us and lives will be changed. Lord, let each one grab a hold of the call of God with such ferocity that nothing moves them. Nothing moves us except the word of God into a right position with you so that you can be manifested through us and the whole world is transformed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.